Hello, welcome to Reference Desk, a performing arts and culture podcast. I'm your host, Garth Grimble, and in each episode, I'll explore a piece of dance culture with references, popular, personal, and otherwise. I'll share a companion video link so y'all have a visual reference of what I'm talking about. Let's get into it. Well, I can't believe it, but this is the season finale. Thank y'all so much for listening, for sticking with my 2-episode-per-week adventure. I don't know if I'll be doing that in season 3, it's kind of a lot of work. And for your feedback, I relish the continuing of a conversation started on the podcast. This season has been all about how we think about space, how we move through space, and how dancing changes our spatial relationships. The seed for this theme was the dancing present in last summer's protests, and a personal desire to better understand my relationship to space through what I love most, dance. At a time when we're collectively hyper-aware of personal boundaries, the limits of our indoor spaces, and the desire and anxiety to share public space again. Before I get into today's topic, I want to thank all the folks who agreed to speak with me for this season. Danielle Fernandez-Pascual, Rose Hammock, Muisi Congo Malanga, Jess Curtis, Javi Ramos, and Natalie Morales. I'm so grateful for the time and insight shared, and I loved having these conversations. I'm struggling to articulate a worthwhile summation of what's been covered thus far. The most available words have been co-opted by the wellness industry to sell us CBD-infused bras and elitist mind-body retreats. And maybe the thing I value most about public space is freedom from commerce. In a park or a library, buying and selling is not the purpose. And maybe language isn't the best means to express my thoughts, but 'tis the medium of the podcast, so suffice it to say, my understanding of space and dance has opened up to be less centered on humans, more open to all senses and sensations, and I feel encouraged to notice more and allow for space to unfold the same way we let time unfold. And maybe most importantly, that our conceptions of what is public space changes constantly, as does how we move through it. Last week's episode on flash mobs was the first mention of virtual space this season. The success of flash mobs in reality depends on organizing via the internet and texting. And the purpose of flash mobs evolved as digital sharing became ubiquitous. The arc of the flash mob feels like a crossroad and an Ouroboros. There is an intersection of the real and the virtual. The form and function devours itself and reproduces simultaneously. If you're hearing me speak these words and thinking, "What are you talking about?" I get it, because that's how I feel when I start to dive deep on how the internet affects culture. The reason I want to frame flash mobs this way is I see a direct connection to the most popular way now to experience dance, TikTok. I'm not well versed in TikTok. I've only been on it for 6 months. I've never created anything on the app. I do really enjoy being an observer. Like all social media, I'm sure it is in some way corroding society, and the algorithm likely has nefarious data collection practices. I think there's no denying it is reshaping how we think of dance and space. Where flash mobs were a gathering of strangers to perform together in public spaces, choreography often learned alone, TikTok dances are danced by thousands, if not millions, of strangers, generally alone, for others to be experienced and remade in spaces all over the planet. Where flash mobs often used famous choreography or made new moves to well-known songs, the music industry now chases TikTok dance trends, and music producers consider the editing features within the app when making hooks and beats in the hopes a viral dance trend ensues. It's unbelievable how many people have done the Renegade dance or the Savage dance, definitely more than the Macarena at its height. And since we haven't been able to gather and dance together for a year now, the diversity of dances and dancers expands as our living rooms become our stages, as our audience becomes likes, comments, and reposts. I'm trying not to get ahead of myself, but whether or not TikTok is eventually replaced by a newer, shinier app, I think it will take a long time to fully understand TikTok's effect on dance and what we consider shared space, both online and in person. This episode is not about determining answers, but asking questions. The most active users on TikTok are teenagers. I don't really know any teens I'm not related to, so I enlisted friend of the podcast and senior teen correspondent, Natalie Morales, to interview some youth she teaches about TikTok dances.
Okay, so what makes a good TikTok dance?
Like, easy moves to pick up.
Something that's, like, fun to do, like, a kind of upbeat and, like, sassy, I guess.
Yeah, something that's not, like, the same as all the other ones, though.
Unique. So something unique,
yeah.
But easy to learn.
But easy, yeah.
Like, some of them, like, have to hit, like, certain beats, I guess. That's what makes it, like, cool to watch.
So if they have, like, good musicality or rhythm?
Yeah.
Maybe something, like, that's kind of catchy, like, you, like think about it a lot and end up doing it, and it's, like, different from a lot of other ones. It's not just, like, the same as any, like, generic one.
I feel like adding on to that, like, it also has to be something that's kind of easy to learn, because, like, I'm never going to go back and watch it if I don't think I can do it. So
if it's too complicated, you're, like, you don't want to do it. What are your favorite dances on TikTok and why?
I like the Cut the Check dance because I like the artist who made the song, Nicki Minaj, and I like the movements. It's like a catchy dance.
So liking the song helps if you like the dance?
Definitely Renegade.
Yeah.
Okay.
And also there's this one. It's like... I like the ones with the Nicki Minaj songs, or like Megan Thee Stallion. Those go hard.
The dirty ones.
Really
the filthy, dirty ones. Yeah.
They like slap. So
like
hard.
Literally, 5 year olds are dancing to WAP.
Yeah, not okay.
Okay, I don't like WAP, but like that one Nicki song. It's like.
So what? And why are they? Why is that your favorite?
Because the songs are very good. And then the people who dance to them are just, like, their musicality is really good. And I really like how they hit the beats, you know.
When do you decide to do a duet on TikTok, and when do you decide to do it solo?
I mean, just personally, I never do it solo. I just feel like it's so awkward. So I just always do a duet. But I don't know what other people do.
I don't duet with, like, other TikTokers, but I do them with my friends, like, in the video, because it makes it more fun. When you have someone doing it with you, so that's not as awkward to be dancing by yourself.
So this is a dumb old person question, but do you do it like with someone in real life, like they're here with you, or you like do the split screeny thing?
In real life.
Okay. Yeah. I imagine by yourself is kind of like awkward. Also, I really like that Leo.
When you record yourself doing a TikTok, when do you know it's ready to be shared? And how many times do you record it before you're ready to share it?
Well, I don't post that much.
I like to watch myself a lot. So I make a lot of them, and then I watch them all over and over again. And that's just, like, narrow them down.
And then you, like, pick the best one?
Yeah, and then I pick the best one.
So, like, how many? Like, 10? 50?
Like,
10.
The usual one for me is, like, 20.
What?
Dear Lord!
Because I make them over periods of time.
Okay.
And then I'll pick it out. And that's why I'm always late to the trends. I'm trying to perfect the dance, you know?
And then by the time you're ready, it's, like, not cool anymore.
I have to be the next Charlie DeMille.
I have to be the next Charlie DeMille.
Anybody else?
I don't share either, but, like, I have a lot of dances in my drafts. And it usually, like, if it's a harder dance, it takes, like, 20 minutes. maybe, but if it's like an easy one.
To get it right? So like if you're recording it and you make a mistake, you just stop and start a new one?
Yeah.
Okay, you can't edit it.
No.
Didn't know that.
Well, like if I mess up, then I'll like redo it. But like if I do it like good, then I'll like post it. But like, I don't know. If you mess up, there's like, it's like weird because then like you just stand there. But it's also like funny at the same time. If you mess up, I don't know.
So do we not post mess ups? Like every TikTok is like just right?
No. You post mess ups too. Like just whatever you're feeling kind of, I don't know.
Like if it's funny, if you like fall and it's funny or something. How else? How many times do you guys, like on average, if it's like a kind of a tricky TikTok, how many times do you record it before you?
I haven't like done this much, I feel like, but like the one time I did it, when we had to do it in the spring for like the ones we made, it took me like a half hour to get one I liked. Yeah, like I was sweating. It wasn't good.
Oh my God, I thought you were going to say like 3 minutes.
No.
Because it was hard to learn the choreo, or just because you didn't like it, so you kept like redoing it?
Yeah, I didn't like how I looked.
Yeah, it's hard to watch yourself.
I feel like with TikTok dances, like you learn it in the moment, and then it looks really like you don't know it, so you have to practice it, and that's when we're all like practicing them in the studios, and then it like gets stuck in your head, and then like later you do it, and it looks a lot better.
So. It like gets into your muscle memory, so you don't have to think about it as much when you're doing it and recording it.
Yeah, because when you first learn it, you have to like watch other people doing it with you, like the famous people doing it. So then eventually you get it by yourself, but it takes a little while.
So this is also a dumb old person question. I don't know how this works, but so to learn TikTok dances, it's not like word of mouth or like friends showing you. You're watching a video and like breaking it down and learning it that way.
Yeah, like people go viral with the dances who like make them up, and then you watch them do it, like their videos that they've already posted, and then you just like copy.
You have to like pause and then like learn it, or do they break it down for you?
No, you like try your best. You just like watch it like a million times until you get it.
That sounds actually really difficult.
Okay, like to add on to like learning it, sometimes you like, I don't know if it's just me, but I feel like sometimes when they're really like trending, you can learn it just by seeing it so many times. Like you don't have to stop and try to learn it yourself.
Yeah. Do you ever like learn it and you're like, I have most of it, and then just like do it the way you do it, so it's not like exactly the way? Like, is that okay on TikTok land, or is that like not okay? That's not okay. Okay. Good thing I don't have TikTok. Okay, once you've shared your dance, how do you know it's successful? Like, do you think, oh, I have like a million likes, or do you just think like, well, I thought it was cool?
Well, I have yet to be TikTok famous, but that's usually how you tell. Like if your video goes viral and you get like a ton of likes and stuff, then that usually pretty
good. What does that mean? Like 100, 500, 1,000?
Like millions.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm happy on Instagram if I get like 10 likes. I'm like,
well, like I also just do it like kind of for fun. Like sometimes you don't really like care about the likes. It's just like more like you having fun in the moment with like your friends and stuff.
So for you, it's less about like if it's successful and more just about actually doing it.
Do you ever not get comments on a TikTok you thought was going to be successful and you're like, oh, that didn't go over well?
Yeah, and then I put it on friends only.
Divas have gone kind of viral.
I don't do dancing videos, though. My videos that go viral are like comedy or like relatable stuff.
Yeah. I was in a TikTok with Aaron and Allison, but I couldn't learn the dance, so I just stood in the background. It's really hard. Like, I'm impressed that you guys can, like, retain that information. Thanks for your answers.
That concludes this week's episode of Reference Desk. The theme music is composed by Heather Stockton. You can find more information at Reference Desk Podcast on Instagram. Thanks for listening.